And now, to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Emma.
Hello, I'm Emma, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm super sick right now, so I may need to take some coughing breaks, so bear with me. My voice isn't like the cool, like sultry sick yet, it's just like the ew, gross sick, you know? So hey guys, first of all, I'm really grateful and excited to be here. This has been the meeting that I've come to pretty consistently since I moved here a few years ago, and it's been a really big part of my life. So I'm really excited that I get to like be a part of it now. Or I mean, I've always been a part of it, but like, you know, part of the institution. So I guess I'll start with my experience. Before I even started drinking, I was just like a weirdo, you know, like I was just like a total fucking weirdo. And like, I was just like, I was bullied a lot, and I was like a very anxious kid too. I thought I had like a glandular problem because I sweat so much, but really, and like I thought there was something wrong with my heart because it just like beat so fucking fast all the time. I was like, oh my God, like every interaction I had with another human being was like fucking terrifying to me. And no matter how hard I tried, which was really hard, I had a lot of trouble interacting with other people. So when I got to school in elementary school, when I got to elementary school and you know junior high before I really started drinking, I just like did not fit in. And I've told this story before, but I was also like kind of like a scary kid too. Like people didn't really think it was scary, because in the fifth grade or around there, I was bullied every day. This kid, Nick DeBaker, stabbed him in the stomach with scissors. And I say that, like, it's, like, funny now, but it was, like, really serious at the time. And it really, like, solidified my spot as, like, a total fucking whack job. Like, nobody wanted to come near me. I was, like, nuts. And yeah, so along with being a weirdo, I was now, like, a scary weirdo. And then I had like two or three friends, but I, Annie Ordway and I went into her basement. We watched the 1970s Texas Chainsaw Massacre and drank whatever was in her mother's liquor drawer. And that anxiety and that like nervousness I had about being like so ostracized by everybody, or what, you know, what I felt was be ostracized, but maybe wasn't, but you know, what I felt like was this judgment from everybody just went away. Like I didn't care. Like my sweating kind of stopped, although the vomiting did begin, but the sweating stopped, and like and like I was finally able to just like chill out. And like in my head I heard these voices all the time. It was like, you're not pretty, you're not cool, you're not smart, you know, like nothing you do is good, you know. And all those just like melted away for a little bit, and then I like got really sick, and then we also got in trouble, you know. Like I immediately had consequences with my drinking. But the thing that I really stuck with is like, okay, this is a solution to like how I'm feeling, and how I'm feeling is like not great. And once I realized that the oblivion meant that I didn't have to like be alone with my thoughts and like be alone with like the person that I was, which is not somebody I liked very much, that became like my MO. It pretty immediately was a problem for me. Like, I mean, I hear people say this pretty often, but like once I got a drink in my system, even when I was, you know, 12 years old, I like didn't know what was gonna happen. That has continued. That was like consistent throughout all my drinking. I like did not know what was gonna happen when I drank. So I got in trouble a lot, as you could probably guess, because when you can't control what you do, you generally talk to your parents at least once or twice. So I got in trouble. I got sent away to my mom calls it the angry teen camp now. It's like, but it was like mostly just like an attitude adjustment type of place, in the summer of my sophomore year. And, that was like, you know, the first real, like, I mean, like they kind of talked to me about my drinking, but that was like the first real like tangible thing that was like, uh-oh, she's got an issue and we can't ignore it anymore. And what I learned there was I talked to, you know, I was like with other junkie, you know, like other drug addicts, and I really learned how to like hide it and like be a little bit better with it, which is, you know, it's what, it wasn't a rehab. It was like an attitude adjustment. And I got back and it was just like immediately back into it. So as this all was happening as well, I decided that like near the end of high school, I decided that I didn't want to go to college. I just didn't think that was in like the plans for me. I just thought like so fucking low of myself that I was like, well, I mean, yeah, I just felt really bad about myself. So I was like, college, that's just not an option for me. So instead, I decided to move to Boston, Massachusetts, which was, I'm from Portland, Oregon, so that's like, you know, the furthest point away from Portland, Oregon. I'm like, oh, moving will solve my problem. So I'm not happy in Portland, and I can't fucking get my shit together in Portland, so maybe Boston will be the answer. But I remember, like, when I was about to leave, like, when I was done with high school, and I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking go there, and I'm not gonna drink. And he laughed in my face. He was like, that's just not possible for you. You just don't know how to do that, because he's like, you don't know how to survive without drinking. And that turned out to be true. So I moved cross country, and I mean, I just like went downhill super quick. I was living with my parents in Portland, and I moved out, and immediately I just I went for it. And that got me in trouble physically more so. I mean, I always had like the consequences of people hating me, you know, and like the consequences of like not being able to stay friends with somebody for more than 2 weeks, because then they would find out about my embarrassing problem. In Boston, I had the joy of living with other people as well, along with like getting physically ill all the time. I was sick like all the fucking time. And there was just like not enough alcohol in the world to like squelch the voices in my head. You know, the ones that were telling me all the terrible things when I was younger, they were like getting louder, and I couldn't stop them from telling me how inadequate and awful I was. And I also had a lot of evidence that I was, in fact, awful. You know, I was doing terrible things to people, and I didn't know why. And I was acting out, and I couldn't just everything I touched just, like, was ruined. Like, everything I had in my life was, you know, everything good, bad, whatever, like, I just touched it, and it, like, fell apart. Because, my drinking, I was 19, 18 years old, and, like, I just, like, couldn't get it together. So I was having a lot of physical things where I couldn't get out of bed. I was having a lot of panic attacks. I had been kicked out of a house because of my behavior, and I was really hitting the bottom hard. I was also working in an elementary school at the time, and I could not go to work at the elementary school without, you know, trying to attempt the perfect cocktail of getting the drug. You know, I guess what I'm talking about. Like, just right. Just the right amount of everything to make you feel okay. And, like, usually it was, like, way too much, or it was, like, not enough, and I was, like, fiending. And trying to strike that perfect balance, like, never really happened for me, but I attempted every day. Also consistent throughout my drinking is I blacked out, like, every time I drank. And my blackouts became more severe and scarier. And I was really having those feelings that people talk about where they're like, I just wish I didn't wake up in the morning. And I would wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I'm alive. That's a fucking bummer, you know? Like, every day was just like a total bummer. So I don't know, I just continued going that way, and I decided to take a trip. I remember that's one of the things that we talk about as a solution to our problems, and I decided to take a trip to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I had my last drink in Fort Lauderdale. It's a proud moment. The trip itself, like, sounds really dramatic. Like, I went down there. I was supposed to go, like, I was with my I was with a friend of mine, and we were just gonna party super hard, and like I like lost days. I woke up in a strange house in Fort Lauderdale, didn't know where I was, missed my flight, you know, like and that sounds really dramatic, but the thing was is that that was pretty like accurate for how I was living my life. Like I just like, you know, those things were like pretty normal for me, like losing days, like treating myself terribly, waking up with like blood on myself, like those were, that was like a consistent thing for me. And I woke up and I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I like attempted to not drink, and it lasted maybe 20 minutes, and I'd attempted to not do drugs, and that lasted even less time, you know. And I called my parents, and you don't call your parents on a high note usually when you're making this phone call from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I asked if I could come home, and they said that if I did come home, part of the stipulation was I had to go to rehab. And I had been interested in the concept of rehab because what I was doing was not working for me. No amount of alcohol could make me drunk enough. It was just not possible. So rehab was kind of an appealing thing. And so I came home, and I made the decision, or, it, you know, I kind of ceased fighting, in a sense, to go to rehab and get sober. And that was when I got sober on July 6th, 2009. She's got one more day of sobriety in me, so we know. And that's when I got sober. And I was like, it was like the time where I was ready. I was just ready. At that moment, it was like the right time to get sober. I definitely didn't plan on staying sober for almost 4 years, but that's how it's ended up. So I got sober, and like immediately what I learned is I thought that like, what I thought was like, I was gonna make those big sweeping generalizations like, I am never gonna drink again, or I'm gonna eat really healthy, or run every day. You know, like I made those generalizations, you know, I made those big statements like all the time, never kept any of them. But the drinking thing was, I was like, I'm just gonna try this and see how it goes. And like, that has been one of the things I've learned from my sobriety already is like, these things take time. Like getting better takes time. And I know like, when I first got sober, my first sponsor told me, she's like, cause I was having a little bit of a tough time staying sober. And she's like, are things ever gonna get better? Are things like, is it gonna be like this insanity like all the time? Like, am I gonna feel like this forever? And she's like, well, things don't necessarily get better, but they get like different. They get like, you get like a different life than you were working on. Which is true. I mean, like I've had some times in sobriety in the past almost 4 years that have not been awesome, you know, like, but the difference is that I don't really think that I want to die anymore about that. What happened, and what it's like now? Okay, so what it's like now is that how I thought things were going to turn out is, like, totally different. Right now, I'm having a lot of milestones. I'm turning 23 tomorrow. I just graduated from college last week. I'm moving away on Monday. Like, I'm going away. I'm going on a big trip. I'm going to Spain and Morocco and all these other cool places. And if I had told my just getting sober self that I was going to go to college, she probably thought that I was going to go to college. Definitely didn't think I was going to graduate. And if I had told myself that when I was like just getting sober, I don't think I would have believed it, because I couldn't do anything right. Like, I just couldn't do anything right. And not necessarily that I do everything right now, but I definitely take steps in the right direction. And it's been really interesting moving to New York, because I got sober in Portland, and then I moved here when I had about a year and a half. And I was like, there is no way that New York can do AA better than Portland. Portland has the best fucking AA in this. I was like militant. I was like, this has got to be the best place for AA. Because like, it's the place I got sober, and I had a lot of like, you know, I had a lot of great memories there. And I just, and then I moved here and I learned so much from AA here. You guys do it a little different, but it's okay. I guess it's okay. I just like have a lot of gratitude for New York AA. Oh, I'm really gonna cry. Don't know what to do. No, just like. Five more minutes to cry. Got it. You know, just like this is where I've grown the most in AA, and like as a sober reference, because I got sober so young. Like most of my firsts have been happened in sobriety, and a lot of them have happened here and like with the people here. And I'm just like very upset to leave, but I'm ready for like the next thing, and I'm excited to like go bring back like my militant. Nobody can do anything better than New York AA back in Portland, and because I've totally changed my tune. Things are completely different from when I started, and it wasn't because of like big statements I made. It was because of like small bits of work that like have been done, and I think that's pretty consistent with like. Most people I know, like, the people who I found are, like, most successful in AA are the ones that, like, do, like, obviously, like, who do the work, but, like, do it in small increments and don't, like, take on too much and just, like, work towards something and don't, that's another big thing AA is. I mean, it's, like, don't judge yourself for not doing amazing right away. Whew. Can I be done yet? Okay, cool, I can be done. Awesome. So, just having a lot of gratitude. You guys are great. I like all of you very much. And you're cool. No, you're like, it's a good crowd. And you guys have taught me a crazy amount. Also how to dress better. Thank you for that. Lot less frumpy here. Yeah, I'm just filling time right now. So, cool. Thank you all for coming and for being a part of my life. I really appreciate it.